Hey friends, and welcome to It's Better When You're Here podcast. My name is Pastor Michael, and I get to be the pastor of Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church, one church at two locations in Central Florida. This is the sermon that we preach this week. I hope that the message inspires you and encourages you and reminds you that God loves you. All right, here's the message.
Amen, amen. Whew. All right, friends, you can have a seat. Now, little people, now's your chance to get out of here. We will miss you while you are gone. And it'll, in fact, be so much better when you come back. Two important things are happening today after I get Jesus lit here. Today is the birthday of the church, also known as Pentecost. So shout out to everyone wearing red. Good job. I am wearing red, too. It's just really, really tiny. I definitely didn't forget that it was Pentecost until after I got to church, if that's what you think. I remembered, because I'm very good and liturgical, especially if the bishop is watching the live stream. But Pentecost Sunday is the Sunday where we remember where the work of the church began. We change the vestments. That's what this little piece of fabric is called. And we remember We as the church are called to go out into the world and to love people in a really real and vibrant way. So bonus points to everyone wearing red. The other thing I do want to say, this is not a commercial, but people have asked me about this shirt. Where'd you get the shirt from? Our website. So we have a merch tab on our website. If you want one of these shirts, you can buy them there. I'm very complimented that people saw something I was wearing and were curious as to where I got it. Unless they were like, where'd you get that? I don't know. The tone seemed positive. And then the other thing, of course, it is Memorial Day weekend. So I told a few of you as you walked in, gold star for being here on Memorial Day weekend. If God took attendance, this would count for two. But we're really glad that you are here. We will remember Memorial Day a little bit more when we go to the Lord's table today. So I just wanted to acknowledge those two before we hopped in today's sermon. Last week, we got to unpack prayer. Prayer is the number one thing that I talk to people about as a pastor. That is what people are most curious about, is prayer. We talked about why our prayer matters, how we pray, and our posture, our perspective, and what prayer actually does to ourselves and how it changes us. This week, I want to look at the spiritual discipline of silence. Now, if you've never heard of the spiritual discipline of silence before, then you will understand why on Tuesday I yelled from my home office into the house, "Why did I say that I would preach on silence?" To which my darling wife said, "Ah, yes, silence, the thing that you love so much." What can I say? I like to yap. I am a yapper. I'm a certified yapper. I like to talk. I'm the kind of person that if we get on an elevator and there's no Muzak, I will probably turn to you and say, "So what brings you to Jacksonville?" I don't like silence. You can ask our staff. If there is a gathering of more than like four people, there's going to be house music because silence makes my skin crawl. I like a little bit of sound, a little bit of noise, and I'm here to confess a little bit that I have a hard time with the spiritual discipline of silence. But here's an important thing. The thing I'm going to say a lot over and over again, actually, is this. If we do not embrace times of silence, we will not hear the love, light, and hope of Jesus Christ. If we do not embrace times of silence, we will not hear the love, light, and hope of Jesus Christ. So this whole series is about rooting us in our heritage as United Methodists. We're looking at John Wesley, the founder of the Wesleyan movement, of the United Methodist movement. That man loved silence. If you look in his journal or his letters, you'll see that he began most days in silence and contemplation. There's this whole industry of Christian tour guides. I've been getting an email from a website, I hope they're not watching, Holy Spirit Led Tours, which I think is, I can't believe they got that .com. I'm very impressed. I don't believe the Lord is the one that actually leads the tour group. I think it's a person, but there's a Christian tour guides, and one of the tours you can go on is the Wesley Heritage Tour, and you get to see the little alcove where John Wesley would spend every morning. It was nothing special or ornate, but there's this little alcove, this little window that he would look out of and spend time in silence and prayer. Silence was very important to John Wesley, and it's important to us as United Methodists. Silence has always been an important, a vital, vibrant part of the Christian faith. If you look at the church mothers and the church fathers, the writing that churches that the church is based off of, you will see that a lot of these people spent time in isolation by themselves. Hermits, monks would spend time, go out into the wilderness in silence and reflection. And then, of course, we also see times when Jesus spends time in silence. My introverts in the crowd are hearing this and like, finally, a sermon for me. A sermon where I get told all the value of sitting in quiet, and these extroverts have to sit there and listen for once. And I'm very happy for you. And I'm going to make you turn to a neighbor and talk to someone today. So just brace yourself, okay? Introverts, say, take a deep breath in. I believe in you, okay? You ready? When we are overcome by noise, we miss the voice of God. That's one of the most important things I want you to hear today, is that in a culture filled with noise, we can miss the voice of God so easily. In a culture of noise, not just actual sounds, trucks, cars, planes, all of those things, I'm reminded of not Fantasy of Flight. What is the thing, the festival that happens here? Oh, Sun and Fun. Thank you so much. I'm glad that my brain exists in this congregation. Sun and Fun. There's not a moment of quiet for those 10 days as, you know, the Navy and the Air Force and coming in and like hobbyists from Wisconsin are buzzing my house. And there's so much noise. But then we also live in a world that has noise even beyond that. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. But if we do not embrace times of silence, we will not hear the love, light, and hope of Jesus Christ. Our passage today comes from Mark chapter 1. If you want, you could take your paper Bibles and turn there, or your digital Bibles, or of course, you can follow along on the screen. The Gospel of Mark is such an important gospel. The way I describe the Gospel of Mark is that the Gospel of Mark shows us Jesus with dirt under his fingernails. Mark is a very human Jesus, a Jesus that is constantly going from place to place to place, working. We are not introduced to Jesus as a baby in the Gospel of Mark. We're introduced to Jesus as a former carpenter who has now become a rabbi. We meet an adult Jesus. And in this passage, I want you to be looking for how very human the Son of God is in this moment. So anyways, Mark chapter 1, verses 32 through 39, you remember your line, it's woo! That evening at sunset, people brought to Jesus those who were sick or demon-possessed. The whole town gathered near the door. He healed many who were sick with all kinds of diseases, and he threw out many demons. But he didn't let the demons speak because they recognized him. Early in the morning, well before sunrise, Jesus rose and went to a deserted place where he could be alone in prayer. Simon and those with him tracked him down. When they found him, they told him, "Everyone's looking for you." He replied, "Let's head in the other direction to the nearby villages so that I can preach there too. That's why I've come." He traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and throwing out demons. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Hey friends, it's Pastor Michael. We are just so grateful for every last one of you that listens to the It's Better When You're Here podcast. We are so excited that we get to share in this work of ministry and the messages that are preached every week at Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church. We wanted to give you an opportunity. If you want to be a part of what God is doing here at Shepherd's here in Central Florida, and you would like to give, you can go to shepherdsumc.com/give, and you can find a way to give that way. Any support really helps us produce this podcast, but also helps us love our neighborhood around the world very, very well. So thank you for tuning in, and now back to the podcast.
Very good. So in this passage, we see a couple movements that I want to highlight that I want us to talk about a little bit here. But the first is that Jesus was needed. The whole town was gathered at the door. The whole town knew that Jesus had what they needed. Jesus was the only way that these people were going to get better. So Jesus healed people with illness, and he also cast out demons. Now, I'm a Christian, so I believe a lot of kind of wild things. I don't see demons around in my day-to-day life, but I still believe in them because I'm a faithful person, and faith requires me to believe in things that I don't necessarily see. But what's important to understand is that demons during this time may have been actual demons, but they could also have been things like depression, schizophrenia, addiction, seizure disorders. Those things might have been referred to as demons, but Jesus was the one casting them out. Jesus was the most important thing. I think sometimes that we live in a world that is trying to convince us that we are the most important thing. And I don't mean to just like gas us up, make us feel good, but rather to make us feel as if we must constantly be monitoring the situation, getting information, you know, learning more and more, constantly being tied in and able to be connected to. Does that make sense, friends? This flashlight that tells us bad news that we're constantly looking at and scrolling through, reminding us how bad things are, how desperate things are. It can sometimes feel, friends, it can sometimes feel as if the whole world is lined up at our door and that we're the only ones that can fix it. The things we bring to the world are vital and important, but you matter as a person. Who you are as a human being matters. Jesus knew that he mattered as a person. The modern state of work-life balance is completely upside down. I would even say that the modern concept of being reachable is completely upside down. The fact that we can be texted or we can text someone and we have the cultural expectation that they will respond to us within an hour is bananas. We're not supposed to be that connected, friends. We're not supposed to be able to be reached so quickly. I was talking with someone yesterday, actually, getting the coolant in my car fixed, and the mechanic asked me if I was Matt LeBlanc's cousin, the guy who played Joey Tribbiani on Friends. And he talked about how all of the plot lines in Friends and Seinfeld are ended if someone has a cell phone. Have you guys understood this? If you go back and you watch, most of the plot lines are based off of not being able to reach someone, which means 30 years ago, you couldn't just text or call someone. The younger people in the congregation are like, this dinosaur is still yapping, isn't he? But the reality that we are so deeply connected is not what we were made to be, friends. Jesus, in a time when you weren't so easily connected, also realized that he had to be disconnected from time to time. The modern state of connection or work-life balance is completely upside down, and the church should be at the front of breaking it down. If we do not embrace times of silence, we will not hear the love, light, and hope of Jesus Christ. In this passage, Jesus didn't let the demons speak because they recognized him. We see Jesus out in the world doing the work that he was called to do. And in this work, he is silencing the demons because they recognize him. There's this theological idea called the secret Christ. Everyone say the secret Christ. It's a very deep and complex theological idea that I learned a lot about in seminary and kind of understood by the time I left, but it is a very complex thing that you can read lots of books on, but Mark is at the center of it, the secret Christ, the idea that Jesus does these miraculous things and then tells everyone, don't say anything about it. Meanwhile, we live in a world where if I throw like a piece of paper into a trash can from far away, I'm looking around hoping someone had a camera out. Like, I hope you were recording that because no one's going to believe me. I at least hope someone sees me, or that we have security cameras so that I can get the footage and then put it on my social media so everyone could be amazed at how good I am at basketball, right? I mean, we're so deeply recorded and connected. I think often about how in the early or the late 2000s, the early aughts, how I was 20 years old and there was no video evidence of how grateful I am of that, and how bad I feel for 20-year-olds now, where everyone has a 4K camera in their pocket. Plenty of things would have been very embarrassing and very difficult for my career. But I digress. In this moment, this connectedness, this being seen, the demons are able to say out loud, I know who that guy is. I know him from work. That's the Messiah. That's the Savior of the world. And people could believe in Jesus by the testimony of these demonic beings that knew who Jesus was. And Jesus says, shh, don't say anything. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. Now, like I said, the secret Christ is this complex theological idea where better theologians than I am can explain it to you better than I can. But I wonder, just for today, I wonder if we could see it as Christ silencing these demons because there is more truth in silence. I wonder if these demons then saying that this is the Messiah, I wonder if those would cloud the truth that would come in silence. Jesus was healing people. He didn't need someone else to point it out. Jesus was changing people's lives. He didn't need someone else to make some noise about it. Jesus was already there. I wonder then if we transfer this to today, maybe the demons of our day are the forces striving to make the most noise. Maybe the demons of our day are the forces striving to make the most noise. The distractions that we can experience, the confusion, the noise, the clattering cymbal or the banging of a gong, these noises that distract us from the point of our lives. And if we do not experience times of silence, we will not hear the love, light, and hope of Jesus Christ. So silence then becomes a response to the noise. All right, introverts, I warned you ahead of time. Now is your chance. I want everyone to turn to a neighbor, bonus points if you didn't drive in the same vehicle as them to get here, and answer this question. What is your favorite commercial? Turn to a neighbor and discuss, what is your favorite commercial? Go. All right, what commercials did we see? What were the commercials that we liked? Raise your hand, tell me. Yeah, Jackson. State Farm, yeah. Like a good neighbor. State Farm. Very good. That wasn't as much gusto as we deserved. Thank you, Jackson. That was very good. Hump Day. Yeah, was that Geico? Yeah, it was tough to be a Michael. I'll just say, when that ad came out, that was tough. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What else? Yeah, Susan.
Any commercial with the Clydesdales.
With the Clydesdales. Now, what company is that, Susan?
Oh,
it's
Budweiser.
It is Budweiser. Yeah, that's very good. We had that at Chapel Campus, the what's up commercial from like 1996, maybe? A long time ago. Eleanor? The dog driving the car with the whole dog family. Subaru. Yeah. Yes. Not a very good commercial because we remember the dog. Not the Subaru overestimated their value. We're like, cute dog. I want that dog. Is that a dog commercial? That is very good. I like that one. What else? Give me one more. Yeah.
Cadbury egg.
Yeah, that's a really, really good one. For me, the Campbell's soup ad, I don't know if you've seen this one, where the snowman walks in. Was that Amanda's as well? Yeah. The snowman walks in and his mom makes him soup and he melts away. The reason why I love that one so much is because that's exactly what that feels like. When you're like a kid in Boston and your mom makes you soup, you feel the ice melt off of you. The other one really stuck out to me. None of you will know this one, I don't think. think maybe there might be an outlier here, but there was a theme park, a small theme park in Wayland, Massachusetts, called Wayland Park. And do you guys remember this one? Wayland Park for a whale of a time. Bow! And for some reason, I hear that to this day, and I'm like, it would be wicked awesome to go to Wayland Park. It's like I'm a sleeper cell waking up. Commercials are so powerful, right? You know, I haven't seen a Wayland Pack commercial live in the wilderness for 30 years, basically, and yet I know that that's the destination for a family fun expedition or something. I don't remember actually, but commercials are so powerful. They're so sticky. We see so much advertisement in our lives, friends. Do you know how much advertisement you see? I bet you don't. It's crazy. So I looked it up. Around, they estimate, they can only estimate because some of us consume more media than others, but they estimate around 5,000 ads a day. 5,000 ads a day. This is an average. So some of us are seeing more, some of us are seeing less, but some of us are seeing even more. 5,000 ads a day. Those same estimates can estimate that over the course of our lifetime, so outside, or out of our lifetime, ads outside of social media or TV, but like we're driving past ads that we see, around 1.5 to 3.6 million advertisements a year. A year. And every last one of those messages, friends, are crafted to make you believe that you're missing something. You know, you see these ads for car insurance. And you're like, maybe I do need new car insurance because it's hump day and a camel has told me so. Maybe I do need a refreshing loaf of bread in a can because the Clydesdales are walking down the street. You know, I'm being convinced that I have something and I need something else. The noise we are surrounded by tries to convince us of our needs. That we have needs, that we lack, that we don't have enough. The advertisements that we see, the noise that we see convinces us that we don't have enough. And the silence Christ gives guarantees our grace. The silence Christ gives guarantees our grace. It is hard to understand silence in our culture because most of the things that we are taught or that were shared, or I try to convince you of, even, or advertisers try to convince you of, is that you are missing something, and so you need a new thing. Silence, however, says, Christ actually just wants some time with you. You need to charge your batteries. You are not infinite. So you don't lack a thing. You simply need to lean into what you already have. And if we do not embrace times of silence, we will not hear the love, light, and hope of Jesus Christ. So Jesus needed sacred silence. Jesus needed time where no one needed him, and he needed no one. Jesus needed time where no one needed him, and he needed no one. He needed to go and be away in a deserted place. He needed to disconnect. He needed to just be by himself with his God and experience a time of refresh and recharge. There's a blue chair in my house. It's a very sacred blue chair. It is where from time to time, not every day, but from time to time, I will sit and I will do nothing except maybe drink a cup of coffee. Sometimes early in the morning, I will sit there before anyone else is awake and I will breathe in the name Jesus and breathe out the name Christ. I will set a timer because I'm absolutely certain that as soon as I sit down, an hour has passed, and I look at my phone and realize it has been exactly 2 minutes. This time of just sitting and disconnecting, simply realizing that I am not needed by anyone and no one needs anything for me. I simply exist as a child of God. Let me challenge you. If the only time you are silent is before you go to bed, it's time for a change. The only time that you are silent is right before you go to bed, it's time for a change. Now, I have here in my notes an important note, extenuating circumstances. I know that some of you are caretakers, I know that some of you have jobs that require a lot of you. I know that some of you, a time of silence will come in a few years or once a week or every other month. I understand. I am simply saying as your pastor to encourage you onward that this is something we should pursue. Because you know who's not going to tell you to sit and be calm and sit in silence? All of the noise around us. So I'm taking one sermon on a Sunday against the 5,000 ads a day and the 3.6 million commercials you see over the course of the year to say, you're actually just fine. You're not a human doing, you are a human being. Rest in that. All this noise is making us anxious, lonely, and scared. I have a couple of headlines. Take a deep breath. If you have high blood pressure, maybe avert your eyes. But we have some headlines here. The first one says, a disease specialist shares key advice as she looks towards another worldwide virus. The next one, can tracking private jets predict an imminent apocalypse? This website thinks so. Oh my gosh. And then this one, new data center equivalent to setting off 23 nuclear bombs per day, professor finds. Now, these headlines are pretty terrifying, horrifying even. Maybe some of you are not looking at them because you're like, I want to sleep this month. So I'm not going to look at them because they scare me. Here's what's really, really important. I then read through these articles, got the main point of the articles, and I think this is important for you to know. The 23 nuclear bombs, you'll be surprised to find out that this data center is not actually igniting 23 nuclear bombs a day. Now, data centers are, in my humble opinion, this is just Michael LeBlanc's opinion, bad. There are no rivers or streams worth another gigabyte of storage, just saying. But this article, the thesis is they're hot. They're hot. They get hot, like hot things. Very hot, like a 23, you know, nuclear bomb, but just hot. It's okay. They'll cool it down. Don't worry. It's not actually that scary. The next one, the private jet tracking, it's literally a comedy website. It's a joke. Like, they did it for laughs. Some nerd did some code to make his nerd friends laugh, but this journalist was like, I bet people could cry about this and be very afraid, and that will get me clicks, right? So that's that one. And then the thesis of the hantavirus one is that, hey, great news, it's not going to be like COVID-19, and we're going to be okay. But hey, great news, we're going to be okay doesn't get clicks. It doesn't get eyeballs. You know, a dog learns how to fetch does not get as many eyeballs as, oh, this is the most horrifying sentence you've ever heard. That gets clicks. That gets eyeballs. We live in a world so desperate for silence, and yet we are filled with noise again and again. Now, our blood pressure may have gone up, but it has triggered a fear response. An important thing about the neurological fear response is it shuts off our ability to feel love. When you are afraid, it is not a good time to look at a sunset and think, wow, how beautiful. If you're afraid, the point is to ignore everything other than your safety. But friends, we live in a culture so deeply enmeshed in a fear response that we're losing our ability to connect. We're losing our ability to love, friends. We're so filled with noise that we are missing out on the connection of individuals around us. We cannot love when we are in a fear response. And if we do not embrace times of silence, we will not hear the love, light, and hope of Jesus Christ. And so what's the point here? What's the key? Well, let's look back at what Jesus does. The key is silence. So Jesus goes by himself. He stops hearing that everyone is sick or dying. He remembers that God loves him. He walks away from everyone that needs him and remembers that what he needs is God's great love. You see, in silence, Christ finds peace. And we must do the same. If we do not embrace times of silence, we will not hear the love, light, and hope of Jesus Christ. So how the heck am I supposed to do that? We live in noisy times. How in the world am I supposed to find some silence? I don't know what your day-to-day life is. I don't know what kid is demanding something from you, what family member needs your attention. I don't know what your job is like, where there's 1,000 fires to be put out every moment of every single day. But I do know what Jesus did, and that was finding some time of quiet. So some practical ways you can do this. I want you to put every device you have away for a set amount of time every day. Not all of these are the prescription for you, but I want you to pick and choose which one works for you. When was the last time, and maybe some of the older, more seasoned, more experienced people, not older, experienced people in the room will say every day, when was the last time you drove without any music or podcast or something going on, going into your head? When was the last time? Just like driving, like analog style. I encourage you to give it a shot. Simply be in quiet. Put every device away. It is not lost on me, and maybe you have this too, that my screen time report shows up at 8:30 in the morning on a Sunday, which for you, you know, I hope is the beginning of your relaxing cup of coffee before you come to church. For me, it is the trenches. 8:30 in the morning on Sunday, my phone's like, hey, you're on your phone a lot. I'm like, shut up, you know, and I'll see it. But whenever it says, hey, your screen time was way, way up, I then go like this and I realize, oh yeah. That's why I'm so worried about what's going to happen today. When I look and I say, your screen time was down, I'm like, oh, right. That's why I'm so excited about today. These devices are not making us better. They're not helping us connect. They're not helping us live freer and fuller lives. So put them down every once in a while. Put them away. The next is maybe you just want to take social media off your phone altogether. Facebook and Instagram, TikTok, any of those social medias that you might have, if you delete those off of your phone, I guarantee you, you will find more time for silence and contemplation. And above all, if you're a news junkie and you are watching the news for a significant portion of your day, y'all, pull the plug. If you need to watch the news, friends, you can get it done in 20 minutes. But the way that news is packaged is to make sure that you think that you have to keep watching. I remember being a kid, this is even before your 24-hour news cycle, seeing the bumper right before the commercial. Is the food in your pantry going to kill you? More at 5 o'clock. And it's like, well, I guess I have to set an alarm. I got to watch the news at 5. And every time you say, like, sugar is bad for you. It's like, okay, clear. Got it. Oh, my gosh. You know, shut the news off. The news is specifically packaged to get you to be afraid. And we cannot love when we're in a fear response. If you find yourself grounded in noise, pray that God grants you the courage to sit in silence. If you are grounded in noise, pray that God grants you the courage to sit in silence. If we do not embrace times of silence, we will not hear. Y'all better listen to me, huh? That was crazy. Tom's just in the back on the iPad like, nee, nee, nee. If we do not embrace times of silence, we will not hear the love, light, and hope of Jesus Christ. Okay, your action points today. They're very, very simple, and none of them are very, very thrilling. And not all of them will work for you, but some of them will. I want you to choose one way to shut off the stream of noise. Choose one way to shut off the stream of noise. When I wake up in the morning, my cell phone is on my bedside table. It's my alarm clock. Well, it's the backup alarm clock. My actual alarm clock turned 10 2 weeks ago. But it's there, and every morning I wake up and I pull out my cell phone and I open up the worst news I've ever seen in my life. And I hold it right here against my face because I don't have my glasses on. And I'm reminded that I'm alone and I'm scared and the world is falling apart. And then I get up and I make a cup of coffee and I'm like, I hope it gets better from here. So the way that I'm going to shut the noise off, the stream of noise, is that I will not look at my phone I'm making this up as I go, until after my cup of coffee is gone. I will not look at social media until my cup of coffee is gone. Maybe that bit of caffeine will take the edge off. I don't know what you need to do. I don't know if it's limiting yourself to 20 minutes of cable news a year. I don't know if it is choosing to sit in contemplative silence. I don't know what it is, but I know that all of us can spend more time in silence, because if we do not embrace times of silence, we will not hear the love, light, and hope of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Almighty God, in your mercy.
Hey friends, thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope that this message connected with you and inspired you. Please reach out to us on social media or through our website. We would love to know if this is your church family. If this message meant something to you, please share it with someone that you know or you love, or share it on social media. We know that it would be so much better with you here, so much better with the whole world, knowing of God's great love for all of us. Have a great week and be blessed.